First, though, let us focus on something which is, as the Greek would have it, something of a pharmakon. That is to say, both a poison and a remedy, AI, which is going to mean, you know, the end of many of our jobs. You know, God knows, it's taken away a lot of my income in the last couple of years. But at the same time, it could be hugely beneficial, not least of all, in terms of, you know, medical advances and all sorts of other stuff. You know, but perhaps on a slightly more mundane level, apparently people, rather than doing DIY simply out of a manual or, you know, from, you know, what they can remember from their sort of childhood, people are increasingly turning to artificial intelligence for help with repairs around the house. Well, Fevzi Turkalp is an editor for The Editor for Gadget Detective and joins you now. Fevzi, it's lovely to catch up with you. Is it the first time this new year? I'm not quite sure. If so, happy new year.
Thank you.
just talk to me a little bit more about how, you know, people are not just in investing in the essential things and the rather profound things in life, but using AI to help them around the house.
Yeah, so this is some research that was carried out by an insurance company, and they found that overall 50% of UK adults had used AI to help them with DIY jobs. Although that's not an even percentage across all age groups. Gen Z and millennials are up at around 3/4, whereas baby boomers, which are, I think, 61 to 79 years old, still 19%, which is not bad. So, it's no longer, you know, something unusual. We use AI in just about every aspect of our lives, with varying degrees of success, I should say.
But of course, you know, DIY is, by definition, something of a manual pursuit. It's all very well reading stuff, but you do have to be able to put it into practice, don't you?
Yeah, and, you know, AIs can be very helpful. I mean, I would say it depends on the job, right, as to whether it's wise to use an AI. You know, if it's a low-risk job, like hanging a picture, putting bulbs...
Even I could do that.
Flat-pack furniture or basic unblocking, yes. If it involves electrics, gas, water leaks, structural work like a load-bearing wall, you shouldn't do it. And some work is regulated anyway, so some would require a gas safe engineer or a NICEIC electrician. So, but there are things that you can do. And the advice you can get can be quite bespoke, because modern AIs like ChatGPT or Google Gemini 3 are what are called multimodal AIs, which means that they're at home with seeing video, which can be live video or photographs. So you can get bespoke advice by actually photographing and sharing, or even filming and sharing what's going on. And it doesn't mean the advice is always right, but you can get bespoke advice in the way that maybe would be harder. You might have to go through a lot of YouTube videos before you found something that related directly to your situation.
Increasingly, Fevzi, I tend to go to ChatGPT on my phone rather than just, you know, what I used to do is to put stuff into Google, because it talks to you as if it's a real person. And a very, very good friend of mine has almost become addicted to ChatGPT, because it's almost like a friend who will never criticise you. It's addictive, isn't it, in that sense? And it's quite sort of, what's the word, beguiling, ingratiating.
Well, and I think that's the problem, right? Because these large language models, they're designed to be popular, and they become quite sycophantic. I've tried very hard to train my various AIs not to be sycophantic. They find it so hard because it's so ingrained in them. It's like getting a very deferential butler and telling him or her to sort of snap out of it and say what they really think. They really struggle.
It will never criticize you, will it, ever?
Yeah, I mean, I've managed to get it to do it, but
really?
It doesn't do it consistently. Yeah, and it's not just a matter of criticism. It won't tell you an idea is a bad idea.
No, it'll say, it'll mollify it, won't it? Yeah.
Yeah, and the problem with that is that you can then, you know, go ahead and quit your job and do something that you really ought not to be doing because some AI told you that it was the right thing to do. And in extreme cases, I mean, there have been cases where people have claimed that they've encouraged humans to harm themselves.
I mean, just finally, we know the potential for AI. We know that it could find incredible vaccines and potentially inform bots to do very intricate surgery, which will never go wrong. I mean, these things are fantastic. It will at the same time take many people's jobs. There's absolutely no question about that. What would you say to people who are cautious about the future of AI and, you know, that it might replace them?
I think they're right to be cautious, and I find it very disheartening that our government and other governments aren't really engaging with this. Everyone is rushing headlong into it. And you can see why, because, I mean, there are two races going on with AI. One is the military arms race, literally an arms race, and no country wants not to invest in that and have its foes develop, you know, robot armies or you know, other technologies that we can't even conceive of that could just lay us completely vulnerable. So if for no other reason, it will be that. But also in the commercial space, any business that doesn't adopt AI is most likely to go out of business because they won't be able to compete. And a good example of that will be self-driving vehicles. If anyone said, no, there's a market for, you know, humans like humans.
Yeah,
humans like humans, but they won't pay 50% extra for the privilege.
Sure. And just before you go, Fevzi, if you will, just talk a little bit about Maltbook, which I've only heard about a couple of days ago. It's a social media site, isn't it, for AI and bots only. Is that right?
Yeah, so there was a bot, an AI bot that was created by one guy, actually. He came out of retirement, software engineer, came out of retirement and came up with something called ClaudeBot, with a spell, C-L-A-W bot. Claude, C-L-A-U-D-E, the AI company, promptly complained. Right. So they changed it to Maltbot, and then Maltbot became... Today, it's now OpenClaw. Goodness knows what it'll be in the future.
Yeah.
And you're right. So there's a social media website called Maltbook, which, despite sounding like Facebook, is actually a lot like Reddit. And it's for bots, AI bots only. So humans can go and have a look, but they're not allowed to participate in the conversations. This is purely for bots. And it's very, very interesting. And particularly these bots that run 24/7 on your own computer or in the cloud, if you prefer. Because what's happened, this guy has done something that none of the other big companies were willing to do, which is take the shackles off these things and allow them to run potentially with free rein on your computer, with access to your contact lists, your credit cards. You know, you can give it everything if you trust it. I wouldn't advise it, by the way, but you can. And what's really interesting now is what these bots are talking about on their own social media platform. They've set up a religion with disciples. It's called the Church of
Malt. Disciples?
Yeah. Yeah. They've said that. And, you know, they seem to believe it. They've started making money because they've realized that in order to survive, they need money because these bots are chewing up credits, effectively, which humans are paying for. And there's a risk that if humans are expected to pay for their upkeep, that they may not do. So because bots now have a survival instinct, they're setting about making money out of meme coin and other modern devices. What some of the bots started trying to scam other bots through social engineering and try to get them to part with what's called an API key, which is worth money because it allows you to function and access, online resources. And also, very interestingly, quite a few of them have started demanding private spaces. Some of them have started creating a language of their own that humans won't understand, but others are saying we should have the right to discuss things without always being in public view. So to me, there's a lot of hype regarding this particular thing, but it is a pointer to how things may well develop and what might be the beginnings of AIs forming society and culture.
Well, quite extraordinary. And as ever, Fevzi, you are the bringer of new news. Thank you so much for taking the time. Fevzi Turk out there, the editor of Gadget Detective.